The Service to America medals honor federal employees who go above and beyond their job descriptions to serve the public. Over the past few months, Federal News Radio has been speaking to the finalists. Our next guest helped transform national environmental health policy by focusing on children. Ramona Trovato is the Associate Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at the EPA, and she's a finalist in the Career Achievement category of this year's SAMMYs. She explains how she changed the EPA's approach to pollution.
I think the single most important piece was the work I did on children's health. The agency, EPA, had for years focused on improving the health of the American population and improving the environment. But we mainly focused on adults. And so we treated everybody, regardless of their age, as adults. And in the mid-90s, we decided we needed to look at kids especially and differently because kids are different. They eat more, drink more, and breathe more per pound of body weight than adults do. And they're affected differently because all their organs are still developing. So what we did, and I have to say we because all of this is a team effort. It's too much for any one person, and I was fortunate enough to be a member of that team and to lead that team. What we did was we started thinking about kids in a different way. How can we protect kids so not only do they have healthier lives, but so that they can be healthier adults and contribute more to our country and to their families and communities? And so that was the big difference that I made. And we looked at the science, the economics, and the regulations and changed those so that we could better protect children.
So when you did look at the science, how did you find that children were being affected by things such as pollution? Vis-a-vis adults. I mean, did you see real health outcomes?
So we saw it was health outcomes that drove the directions we headed in. And so, for example, we knew that at the time there were 14 million missed school days a year because of asthma in the country. And that's a big rise. And it is, asthma is on the rise in all of the developed countries of the world. And so we said, let's focus on the things that trigger asthma attacks so more kids can spend more time in school. And so we looked at reducing the idling of diesel buses in front of schools. We looked at improving the indoor air quality in schools. We looked at educating teachers and parents and physicians and nurses about the various triggers that trigger an asthma attack so that more kids could spend healthier days at school and learn more and be ultimately more productive. So we also focused on cancer. We focused on lead in kids because even though EPA banned lead in gasoline and lead in paint many years ago, there were still hundreds of thousands of kids that had elevated blood lead levels. And this results in a drop in IQ that can never be recovered. So we were also looking for ways to further reduce children's exposure to lead across the country in order that more kids could prosper as they had been designed to prosper. So we focused on that, and we focused on unintentional injuries. Even though it wasn't an area for EPA, it's an area for the whole federal government because traumatic brain injuries from bicycle accidents, car accidents, skateboarding are very significant and very serious. And so we focused on getting the word out about helmets and making sure kids were safely placed in child car seats and cars and just tried to improve the lives of kids in our country. And this then spilled over into other countries. So it didn't just stay here as an initiative. It spilled over across the world. And while what we focused on were things that mattered in this country, which is cancer, lead poisoning, asthma, traumatic brain injury from accidents, in the developing world, those folks still need to focus on things like diarrhea and bad water and how to manage wastewater and breathing air in homes where they're burning fuels with no outlets. So lung disease and other upper respiratory disease. So we worked with the United Nations and the World Health Organization and individual countries to help them also focus on what could they do to help their kids out.
Sure. A couple of questions come up here. One is, as in the United States, as time goes on, the issues, the problems that you try to identify become subtler and subtler. I'm thinking of the analogy of, say, air pollution when acid rain was, you know, sulfur dioxide was a big problem. And clearly that could be reduced quickly and, you know, the statues stop melting. But as time goes on, did you find the problems harder and harder to identify and requiring more and more measures to mitigate once the big things were cleared up?
The main thing we saw from a health perspective, so we, EPA operates under 15 or so federal regulations. And we do things chemical by chemical, regulation by regulation, law by law. HHS, Health and Human Services, we partnered with to do this. They look at things, what's hurting our kids today? And what they found hurting our kids today in the United States is chronic disease. And so we focused on chronic disease. In years past, it was diseases like tuberculosis or polio, communicable diseases, but we've mostly eradicated them. So the real transition in the United States has been from those communicable diseases to these chronic diseases. And so we focused on the chronic diseases. And they are harder to treat. I mean, we have vaccines to treat those communicable diseases, which is what allowed us to eradicate them. So now we're focusing on these chronic diseases, and it does require, it changes. You have to change your behavior. You don't smoke around your kids. You don't have them stand around near buses that are idling. You make sure that the schools they go to are healthier places. You make sure your home is a healthier place. So it's very different from getting a shot to actually managing your own behavior so that your kids are healthier. It's very different in the United States. In the developing world, though, they're still focused on these communicable diseases and diarrhea and trying to solve those diseases that those kids are suffering from. So depending on where you are in the world makes a difference.
We're speaking with Ramona Trovato. She is the Associate Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at the EPA. And in your interview with the Partnership for Public Service in terms of this Service to America Medals finalist group, you say that government is unique, that it provides both the bully pulpit and the resources to make great change. I want to ask you about that bully pulpit. Some would say that the EPA has been a bully if they don't like what the EPA is trying to do. And there have been some who even say maybe there shouldn't be an EPA. How have you in your role over the years dealt with those sorts of people who are very skeptical about what you're trying to do?
I think that skepticism is new. In the beginning, EPA was viewed as the agency who was going to make a real difference for this country. Clean up the air, clean up the water, help make people healthier. We did that. Now the concern is, what else are we going to do? The air is clean, the water is clean, people are healthier. Is there more for us to do? There's clearly more for us to do. When you see the rise in asthma rates, when you see the increase in lifespan as a result of reducing particulate matter in this country, you know that EPA is making a difference for the people in this country. There are folks who say we kill jobs. We don't kill jobs. We help make jobs in new fields. We make jobs in green fields, in sustainable fields, in ways that help improve this country in terms of job growth, in terms of societal benefits to the underserved or to those who are disadvantaged, and in terms of improving health and the environment. So I think EPA makes a difference every day for everyone in this country. I think we are doing a better job of communicating how we make that difference.
And looking at the countries outside of the United States that you're helping with children's health issues, how do they tend to take it? I mean, is it great, the United States coming in with all that expertise, or is it, hey, we know how to raise our own kids?
Most of the time, we're invited in. We're not intrusive. We go to the developed world as well as the developing world when we're invited, and it's usually been very well accepted. We do a lot of work on cleaning up the drinking water and in terms of wastewater treatment so that people can have safe water to drink and can live healthier lives. So it's usually very well regarded and usually invited.
And in terms of the environment and children's health here in the United States, what do you think is going to be the next frontier? Because as you were speaking about your past achievements, I was thinking, you know, things like obesity probably were not such a big deal 35 years ago when you began your career. Now everybody's talking about it, including the First Lady.
You're absolutely right. That is an important issue. We started looking into that a few years ago, and some of that, the issues around obesity are actually related to getting kids moving and up and about again. And we find that kids stay home something like, or indoors, 80 to 90% of every day. And they're very sedentary. And that wasn't the case when I was a kid, probably wasn't the case when you were the kid. So one of the big important things from that perspective is to get kids up and about and outside and playing and physical activity again. And so that is a really enormous and important issue, I think, that's facing the country.